questions and seeing if we can find answers. I hope this series is meant to be a help, meant to show that we can have confidence in God's Word, even on difficult subjects. And so I hope you don't take this as a, I know I joke and call it Stump the Chump, but that's really it. I know you don't really intend to try to stump me or trick me, so don't let that sway you. But I hope this is a help as we consider stuff that's difficult, stuff perhaps that we haven't thought about or are curious, and we wonder where we can go for a source on this. Now, I will tell you this. I was talking with Mick this evening, Mick Hall. He's downstairs, and he told me that I needed to hit you hard tonight. Really hit you with God's Word. And so he also told me this. He said, especially that Carl. So we'll see what we can do tonight. But our first topic this evening is on angels. And I thought just for a moment, we'll do a little quiz here for you. Tell you what, this will be a group quiz. You can work together. So as long as somebody gets it, then you will all pass. All right? That, to my knowledge, there are three named angels in the Bible. Can you name the three? Gabriel. I heard of Gabriel. He was a messenger, all right. We see him several times, even announcing the birth of the Messiah. Michael. Hey, if you remember Michael, he's the fighter, all right. He's of war. There's one more angel named Lucifer. Good job. I was wondering how many that might trick or trip up. Satan, all right? In other words, we see him in the Bible. Yes, he was an angel, albeit a fallen one. God's Word also tells us that it's an innumerable amount. We don't know the number of angels, but that is not our question. I just thought it would be, since our first question is dealing with angels, that we'd do a little quiz this evening for fun. But our first question this evening is this: is there biblical support to say when in time the angels were created, and when the angels fell, and when the abyss and hell were created? You know, angels are a fascinating subject. And many people, we desire to know about angels, we're curious. You know, they're not human, but they're not God. You know, so we're curious a lot about them. Questions such as we often hear, do we have guardian angels? That's an interesting question. Do we have guardian angels? How many angels are there? How many, if a third fell when Satan fell, does that mean that we know the number? Well, we don't know. It's innumerable. How many could fit on the head of a pin? You ever heard that question? I'll tell you what, the answer is, who cares, all right? We don't know, and that doesn't. There's no benefit in that question. So if you were thinking of writing that one down, don't write it down. You already got my answer, all right? Do people become angels when they die? You ever heard that one? I remember as a kid, there was a belief that when you die, if you were good, you know, they become an angel. Even a lot of people, especially in the unbelieving world, still believe such way. Or if the bell rings, an angel gets its wings. We've seen that in a movie. Or even tonight's question, though. When were the angels created? I think that's it's a very good question, and it's relevant because when we're going to look at tonight a couple things, one dealing with creation, as both of these are dealing with, when were these things created? I think that's a good question to ask. However, in my studies, I found most theological books, they do have a section that deals with angels, demons, Satan. I, even about 7 years ago, did a short series in a Sunday school class on this topic of angels, demons, and Satan. So it's a question that I enjoy to answer tonight. But as I endeavor to answer this question, I want to break this part down in two sections, all right? We're going to look at the time of the creation of angels, and then we'll look at specifically hell and the abyss. So we're going to do angels first, and then we'll look at that second part. So I preface my explanation. Oh, sorry, let me go back. I must say I appreciate the questioner's desire for biblical support. If you notice how they asked it, they said, is there biblical support? All right, there could be many opinions, many viewpoints, But what does the Bible teach us? And so I appreciate that that desire there. So as we look through here, as we look for the answer, let me tell you this. The Bible doesn't explicitly tell us when angels were created. There's not going to be a reference that says angels were created on day 7 or day 2. Well, it wouldn't be day 7. God rested. But you get the point. There's not a specific verse that tells us exactly when angels were created. But I do believe we have some clues. And so I want to address this. And the first thing is angels are created beings. I'm going to read some verses. And a little bit will be in Job 38. So I'm just giving you a heads up where we're going. We're not there yet. But angels, we see, first, they're created beings. Nehemiah 9:6 tells us, "You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you." Who is the host? The host are angels. A host is the same word that we get messengers or angels. And so he's saying, you made the heavens of heaven, with all their hosts, with all their inhabitants, with all the angels that are there. So they are created beings. It's God who created everything. It says that not only did God create the heavens, but he also created all the hosts in heaven, the angels. Colossians 1:16 supports this. And when it says, "For by him," speaking of Jesus, "for by him were," I'm tripping myself, and it's right here in front of me. "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." And so again, we see that everything there is, including angels, are created. They are created for Christ. And so again, when were they created? Well, I believe, without knowing for certain, and I believe that I'm going to give some reasons to believe, that angels were created either being created, that they were done either on day 1 of creation or day 3. And let me explain why I hold this. But again, don't pin me down, and because I can't definitively say when. But for this, I want to explain. If you're in Job 38, I want us to begin reading in verse 4. Job 38, verse 4. It says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." But what we see here looking at this passage, and most preachers and commentators that I've looked in and researched would understand and believe this to say, that when the foundations of the earth are created, angels were already there singing. I did find one commentator who believed when they were created, they were singing at their own creation. But either way, it's pinned in the time of the 7 days of creation, it appears to be. That's the first reason why I believe that angels, they exist during the time of creation. But the question is, what day? Or what specific day did that come? And back in Genesis chapter 1, we get the creation of God. In verse 1, it tells us that God created. Church, do you know this one? What did... In Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created what? Heavens and the earth," all right? That was a softball for us, all right? "He created the heavens and the earth." That's the beginning of time as we would know it. Before that was eternity past, and angels, and then we're going to see it created. So we don't believe they were created before day 1, all right? I think the earliest they could have been created was day 1, right at the beginning. Now, some have assumed that angels are created on day 1, right at the beginning, in order to praise God. When you see here in Job 38 and verse 7, you notice what it's saying. As God is making the foundations, he's making earth and doing creation, it says in verse 7, "When the morning stars sang together." It's either talking about when they were made, they were singing immediately, Or more likely, as they're seeing creation, they're praising God. They're praising God for creation. And so that a lot assume that they are there from the very, they're the first created, and as they're watching everything, there they are praising God. But there's also an argument for day three. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." So what we see at the very beginning, the earth had no form, it had no foundation, and you just see the waters. On day one, we see light is created. On day two, the sky and the waters, they're separated from each other. But then on day three, we see this. It says, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good." Could it be that this setting of the earth's foundations that we see in Job 38, there, or when we're reading verses 4 through 7, when it says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Where were its bases sunk, or who laid its cornerstone?" Could it be this setting of the earth's foundation is day three, when God gathers the water together and we see dry land? We see earth. We see a foundation. After all, I want us to consider Psalm 104, verses 1 through 5. If you're in Job, just turn one book over to Psalm. Look in Psalms chapter 104. Notice some interesting word choices here. In Psalm 104, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. He set the earth on its foundation so that it should never be moved." And interesting, another account of creation. And if you start to follow through here, you're going to see an order. In verse 2, we see it says, "You covered yourself with light." Remember what happened on day one of creation? God said, "Let there be light." And so we get light in the earth. And you see, you continue on. Verse 3, it says, "He lays the beams in the chambers of the waters. He makes the clouds his chariots." Again, we're seeing water and wind. A wind as if there was a sky. There was a separation of water and the firmament above it. Then it goes to verse 4. We see messengers and angels. He makes his messengers winds, or the angels as winds, the same word. And then verse 5, "He set the earth on its foundation." And so there are many who would say it's day 3. In the logical order, day 1 is the light, day 2 is the waters and the sky, and day 3 is the foundation of the earth, and it's right between the water, sky, and land. And so many would say they were made right there on day 3, and once they were made, then the firmaments, or not the firmament, the land, earth, the dry land was made, and the angels are there singing. As a result, so we see a couple different views. Let me say this. I don't really know. I honestly believe it could be day 1 or day 3. I think both are an acceptable answer. If you had to ask me, I probably would have told you day 1 before this week, and now today I'm thinking maybe day 3. I really don't know. Here's why this is important, though. It tells us a couple things. Number one, it tells us, as we're reading this, that angels were created with a purpose in mind. You think when I asked you about the three named angels, did you notice each one had a purpose? Gabriel was God's messenger, and he would send them in delivering news. Michael is a guardian. He is a warrior. Satan, or Lucifer, he was there for the worship of God. We see other angels, maybe not by name, but we see them throughout the Bible in heaven in their worship and service of God. Their purpose was to serve God in whatever way he would designate. They're not to be worshipped, in other words. They are not eternal. Angels are created. They are a created being. They did not exist in eternity past. Only God existed. All of creation was created out of nothing. Ex nihilo, out of nothing was anything created. So we don't worship angels. Everything is created for the glory of God. And so I think if we really needed to know when they were created, we would have been told. But it's still fascinating to consider. And asking that question should shape our viewpoint that angels are also created, and they are meant for the service of God, for the worship of him. I want to move on to our second part of the question. And again, if you have a differing viewpoint of me, I don't have a thus say this verse in the Bible. I try to explain as best I can of why I believe what I do there. Our second part of the question, though, is when were hell and the abyss created? You ever wondered that one? You know, as I looked at this question, you're like, you know, I never considered that. I can't recall where I'd ever thought, when was hell created? I know when everything else is created, but when was hell created? When was the abyss created? And I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't have much of an answer here today. Not much in this regards. Really, there's two prevailing thoughts as we would look into this, but nothing is definitive. One thought is hell and the abyss were created during the 7 days of creation. And so there would be some logic there. It would hold that God, who would have known all things at all times ahead of time, he would know that angels would rebel and humans would sin, and thus God created this place or these places at the time of creation. That certainly could fit. Another consideration is that hell and the abyss were created after the fall of angels. And we are told, where is it? Is it Matthew 25? Oh, it's right here. I just right under it. Matthew 25:41. It says that these were created for the devil and his angels. And so many have also assumed perhaps that God created it as a result of their fall, not ahead of time, not until after they fell. However, it doesn't tell us when that creation occurred. We don't see in the Bible where it ever tells us when it was created. But it could be that when the devil and the demons sinned, that hell was created. It would certainly fit that idea. It was created for them, not man, since the angels fell sometime before men. We know this, and we also know that the devil and the angels fell before men. How do we know that, church? What story in the Bible, I heard my wife, Genesis 6, I think it's a little earlier before that. Yeah, even a little earlier than that. Remember what happened in the Garden of Eden? Who was there? I heard it. We have this serpent. Trickery, deceiving. So we know that the fall happened before man fell. We just don't know exactly when. Was it during those 7 days? Was it some point later? We don't know exactly when they fell. So it could be that before man even sinned, this creation had happened. We don't really know. It's speculation at best. And I will tell you this, as much as I tried, there is very little on the subject I could find. I looked over every book I have, every theology book, any topic I had of heaven, hell, end times. I couldn't find any single person in there. I looked at Ryrie, Thiessen, Schaefer, Enns. I looked on any source online. I looked at preachers that I could look up and say, hey, here's some well-known, very intellectual preachers, and I looked them up. I couldn't find anything. The only stuff I could find online was people I had no idea who they were. You know, you can find an answer that you're looking for anywhere, but it wasn't I couldn't find any source that I would trust for an answer. So I'll say this, I don't really have a whole lot more to add because it's a topic that most people don't have anything on. And so while I think it's maybe of little of importance when hell was created, here is what is important. It is real. We've talked about that even in some recent sermons. hell is a real place. We don't know when it was created. We don't know exactly when in time, but the Bible tells us it's real. It's a place of torment. It's the final abode of not just the devil and his angels, but they're the unbelievers, those who have never put their faith in Christ alone for the forgiveness of sins, will also be thrown in there, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. And it is a scary, scary thought. It is a real place, but I wish I could answer more, but that's all I could find on that topic. So our first question tonight is, when were the angels created, and what about heaven and hell? Both of them were, I don't know, although angels, I believe, were either day one or day three or somewhere around there, based on some things we see in the Bible. But both of these, we can have confidence that God's word is true. Angels are real. They exist to serve God. Hell and the abyss are real. We can trust God's word there as well. It is a place to be warned of. Well, tonight, that was our first question. I want to answer one more question tonight. While that was a two-parter, we're going to do one more question tonight. And the reason I'm pairing this one with our first question is because, once again, it's a question where I don't believe the Bible gives us an answer. I'm just frustrating you all tonight, aren't I? I don't have answers, but I want to share with you the reason I'm doing this is, even if we don't always have answers to question, it shouldn't shake our confidence in God's word, all right? And that's why I do, even if I don't know an answer, I still want to address it if I can. Just like I don't know for certain the timeline of the creation of angels in heaven and hell, so I don't have an answer for this question, but I think I can give us an appropriate element to consider. So here's the question. Does the 150 days of water on the earth have any specific significance? Now, this is in reference, a little background here. This is going back to Genesis chapter 7 and 8, if you want to turn back there. Well, that's where we'll ultimately be. In Genesis 6, 7, and 8, we really see the flood. We see the story of Noah even going into chapter 9, and then it's descendants in chapter 10. But the 150 days of this question is asking is in reference to the Noahic flood. If we turn to Genesis chapter 8, look at verse 3. In verse 3, it says, "And the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the water had abated." Now, if you think of the story as we know it, you've heard for many years, and maybe even sing a song about how long it rained and poured, what number do we normally associate with a Noahic flood? 40. Well, let me share with you, because I actually, in doing my research, even looking some online for some, trying to find some more answers than what I found in my books. When I looked even online, there were people who would come out and say, "See, this is a contradiction." Because in chapter 7, if you go back to chapter number 7, all up to verse 4, it says this, "For it's in 7 days I'll send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face of the ground." And so many have come and said, "See, here's a contradiction." Even the writers of this Bible, they trip over themselves. One time they say 40 days, and another time they say it's 150 days. Church, is that really a contradiction? No, let me explain why. If you skip down to verse 17, let's see a little more of chapter 7, verse 17. It says, "The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole earth were covered. The waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, or 20 feet. And all the flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, livestock, beasts, all swarming creatures that..." Am I reading? Yeah, I'm reading the right thing. "And all mankind, everything on the dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds and heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. When we had looked back earlier in chapter 7 and verse 4, and we see that it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And so it's going to rain. However, the flood is going to be there for 150 days. So after the 40 days and 40 nights, the rain stops, but the water is still there. The flood is still there. So even in that 150 days, it would include those 40 days. It's after 150 days, the water starts to recede, and it starts to go down. And now we see this all over the world, even today. In fact, there's a story from several years back. Krista actually knows this, this time period well. In Florida, back in 2004, 2005, somewhere around there, they had several hurricanes just coming through. And even for a couple years, houses were devastated. It's why Florida's insurance has just skyrocketed after these. Anyways, what they found is 16 months after that final hurricane, the waters were still receding in Florida. 16 months, that's longer than the Noahic flood, that it was less than a year and the waters had finally fully receded. And so for the waters to be up 150 days and then take a long time to recede is not abnormal for them to be there. Now, I know that this is extra. I'm just wanted to, in case anybody goes, hey, wait a second, I always heard 40 days. I don't want you to think there's a contradiction here. But our question then was, as we look at this, what about, is there any significance for the 150 days? Why was that there? Why did that happen? Well, the Bible doesn't really give us any indication of a special meaning. It doesn't tell us that it means something else. Now, we do have throughout the Bible that God gives amazing details. He records for us numbers, events, descriptions, size. I think it's, I love that there's descriptions of how big the ark is, and you can visit the ark encounter, as many in our church did last year, and you can see, wow, the details, the how this could have been and how big it was, and the like. Such record keeping is important to us. You know, God declares throughout Scripture that he knows who are his children. He knows who are his own, his sheep. Did you know he also declares to us that he knows the names that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Did you know that's all record keeping? Or even the fact when we know that Christ's sacrifice is sufficient to pay our debt in whole. Again, that shows us we have a God of numbers who can weigh and know what exactly is needed. We need a God who is completely trustworthy in this respect, that he will never lose one of his own. We need a God who is so detailed. And we also have a God who gives enough details to as evidence of true accounts. The details of the ark show us that God really did this. It shows us that we can trust the Bible. It's so full of details that they are constantly proven. Even when history says this isn't possible, all those animals couldn't fit, history say, yes, it is possible. When they over time, it proves the Bible is accurate. So to answer the question, I don't believe there's special significance about the number 150. I think that's a detail, a record of how long it lasted to show us that we can trust this account. But as your pastor, can I use this as a warning? I don't think this was the intent at all, but I want to address a topic that comes up from time to time. And I see this out there, and it's related to this, I believe, so I want to address this. It is very easy to get caught up in a term that is called biblical numerology. I don't know if you've heard of that, biblical numerology. It is to go into the Bible and find hidden meanings in things. So there's a couple different ways you might see this. Sometimes it's just taking a number and say there's got to be a meaning here. Sometimes it's there's one that's in Genesis. There's the word ta, or the letter ta. And it'll take the first five uses of the word ta, or not the first five, it takes the word ta, and then it goes 50 words, and there's another It goes to that next word, which would be whatever the Hebrew O is. 50 more words, there's an R. 50 more words, there's an A. 50 more words, there's an H. And so it says, hey, use numbers to find secret messages in the Bible. And so they're looking in Genesis and said, see, it says Torah. There's a secret message. Another one will take a word like flood, and it'll assign a number to each letter. And it'll take these numbers and put them together and make another word out of it. And they're finding secret messages in the Bible. And why I'm addressing this here is just while we're on the topic of numbers, and there are many videos out there of people who knew this, many books on this. And I just want to use this as your pastor to warn you, stay away from that stuff. All right? You don't need to find hidden meanings in Scripture. God's word is clear. When you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit illuminates the word to you so you can understand it. You don't need a dictionary. You don't need a degree. You don't, God makes it where you can understand the Bible. And so I want you to know, while it's nice to have teachers and preachers, the Bible is sufficient. I'm just saying this so we don't get caught up in numbers in that sense. Although it is interesting, there are some interesting things about numbers. The 12 tribes of Israel, and we see 12 stones, or we see the number 7 as it relates to God and perfection. So it's not to say that God doesn't use certain numbers at times, but I want to warn not to think that every number has some sort of secret meaning that we can't understand. If God's word explains it and it's evident to us, that's great. But there is a video out there if you want some more info. It's a short video. It's by a group called Wretched. It's a video called The Nuttiness of Biblical Numerology. But I don't think we struggle with that here. I just thought I would take this time just as a warning, because I have known people who have gotten caught up in it, even when we were time in Florida, and they were sending videos and were saying, no, that's not good stuff. Be very careful. We don't need to look for hidden messages. God's word for a Christian is understandable. The Holy Spirit guides us and directs us, so we don't need to look for hidden things. But I'm sorry on that question. Once again, I don't know if there's any other meaning behind the 150. This is what I do know, is that numbers in the Bible we see can lead us to trust God and trust his word. He is accurate to every detail. So approach the Bible in a normal way. Take it literally within its context, historically, and in the context itself. And God's word is understandable and revealed to us. So thank you for allowing me to answer these questions. I promise next week I'm going to try hard to give us ones that I say have more definitive answers, okay? But we can always have assurance that we can still trust God's word even if we don't know an answer, all right? Let's pray, and then we'll go over our prayer sheet together. Lord, this evening we thank you, Lord, that even there's things in our lives, Lord, that we don't know the answers, but it should never cause us to lose trust in your word. Lord, we thank you that we see the angels in their service. Lord, I even thank you that while we are created lower than the angels, Lord, we have a special gift that even the angels didn't get. Lord, even when we sin, we have redemption in Christ Jesus. And Lord, that means so much to me to know that as a sinner, that I can be in heaven with you one day because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the trustworthiness of it, and also that it is understandable. It's accurate. It is so detailed, Lord, when it didn't have to be, but we thank you so much for what you did. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's take just a brief look.